Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. I have Ruth, as usual. Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Hi. And I also have a very special guest, which is one of our Commit Six, well, actually committed clients, Nicola or Nick. What would you prefer? Yeah. Nick.
Nick.
Well, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. It's all very surreal. It's like from, like, I feel quite starstruck as well from following you, Emma. So happy to be here.
Well, there's absolutely no need to feel starstruck. But anyway, the reason that we really wanted to get you on today is because one of the biggest problems that people have when they're starting any kind of like lifestyle change is going from a place of usually not feeling that great and taking that first action. And most people know logically, like, hey, whether it's perimenopausal symptoms or whether it's feeling really low in mood or anxiety or whatever it is, that those actions will help, right? That behavior change will help, starting to exercise, eating better, getting outside for a walk. But it's so hard to do that when you feel crap, right? Yeah. So when you're telling someone like, oh, this is what you need to do, and it's like, but I don't feel like doing that. And I know that you experienced that. And I thought maybe we could talk through kind of like how you did that and then hopefully some helpful tips for other people as well.
Yeah, well, I had the whole shebang. I suffered from depression since I was 19. And about, it got really bad. I think I was going through the menopause without me actually realizing it was the menopause. I mean, my last period was 2018, so you know we are now at 2001. And then I got really bad anxiety as well. So I don't know whether or not it was menopause, but I just, it stopped me. I mean, my life got very small. It got joyless. It got very, very colourless. I stopped going out because going outside made me feel very overwhelmed, anxious. I never went out for weeks on end. And at one point, I mean, it got so bad, I didn't really particularly want to be here anymore. But I'm very stubborn, very independent, and I thought, I need support. So I reached out and I referred myself to some counselling, and it was during the COVID time, so it kind of took a long time. It took 5 months to get counselling, but it was over the telephone, and I'm so glad I did, because it kind of set the wheels in motion. It kind of got everything that was going on in my head, like to talk to someone that wasn't going to judge me. I felt very seen, very heard, even though it was, you know, over the telephone. And then I'm quite curious when it comes to like research and stuff like that. So I kind of was on the internet, on Instagram, and then all of a sudden Emma popped up.
She popped up like that. She did that to me.
Yeah. It was really,
and then she keeps popping up again.
It was really bizarre because, like, I listened to you and I thought, this girl takes no prisoners. She, you know, it was like, it was great because what you were telling me, you weren't giving me any bullshit. You know, you were telling me like it was. And for me, like, joining Commit to Six was never about losing weight. It was actually to improve life, my life quality. I had no life, you know, I didn't. So I signed up on the 28th. I mean, I got, you know, money. I signed up on the 28th of July, and here I am. So
that'll be coming up for a year soon.
Yeah, yeah. And it is the best decision I have ever made. Honestly, I cannot thank you enough. I get emotional because I have to, when I wake up in the morning, I kind of see if it's still my body, see if it's still me, because I think I'm going to wake up. It's just like, it's had such, I mean, I'm still not there yet. There's still things that I struggle with, but it's bizarre, it's surreal, and it's just, And I just want to say how much it means to me, and it's life changing. It's been a lifesaver for me. It
Oh.
really has. It has. Thank you, Emma. And it was just out of curiosity. You know, you're on Instagram, and you know, and I started following you. I started getting your Substacks as well, and you know how sometimes your mind tries to convince yourself that, oh, what if you fail? What if? But I just wanted to invest in myself. Nobody else was going to do it. Nobody else is going to make that decision for you. I just went, right, I am worth it, even though I didn't feel worth it at the time. But, you know, it's been a crazy journey without any scales.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing we were going to talk about. But
yeah.
Ruth talks a lot about you because you guys have such a good coaching relationship. And one thing that always comes up is your mindset. Now, and I think it's pretty incredible considering how low you were as well, that we talk about like when you first started and, you know, we'd set you these targets, like, but I don't know if I could do that. And instead of doing what most people do, which is, well, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to engage. I can't do it. It's too hard for me. You were like, okay,
that's
well,
not an option.
Let me, yeah, exactly. That's not an option. What can I do?
And it's because like I felt as if I was in a different body. Do you know that way? Because my body had changed so much. I had a big belly. I had big boobs, you know. So I had to kind of get around that. Do you know what I mean? And there were so many exercises that I couldn't physically do. But I had to do something. I mean, mountain climbers, I couldn't do a mountain climber. But, you know, I adapted. I modified them because I wasn't going to not do it. You know, and then I was always asking Ruth questions, you know. I was like, at one point I was so disheartened because I tried to go from kneeling to standing up and I couldn't even do that. You know, at one point I was like lying on my mat in tears, you know, because I was like, well, my brain can do it, but my body can't. So Ruth said, get a stool and just do a step up. And I went, okay, I've got a stool in my kitchen, I can do that. It's amazing how creative you get when you do home workouts. I mean, I've had my resistant bands strapped to my kitchen cupboard handles, you know, and, you know, tied to my bed, you know. But it's just amazing, you just get so creative. It's not, because you don't look at exercise and say, oh, I don't have this, I can't do it. Your mind goes to a place where, well, kitchen cupboard, kitchen handle, you know, and it's, you know, it's like, it's great. It's like, I get quite excited when I do a new workout. So I'm like, oh, I wonder how I could adapt, you know, and it's great. So
when you started, can I just, like, your steps in particular, what you put this in your form, I had a little look at it before we came on, and I think you put that you were doing 1,500 to 2,000 steps a day in your initial form. And I'm actually having to say, and we'll talk about how you write your check-in forms in a bit, because I think that's also part of the mindset, and I know Emma would love to hear about that. But last check-in, she put, I did between 15 and 25,000 steps. And I was like, and you know, you don't have to do that many, but this is a choice, right? You're
it
choosing.
It just happens.
It's a little bit different now.
and plus I got injured because I thought, when I sort of started, I kind of was quite competitive against myself. So the next day I did more steps, and then I got a shin splint. I've never had one ever in my entire life until I did that. And that kind of made me pull back, made me listen to my body, made me realise. And, you know, and it was very frustrating. You know, it's a very frustrating injury because it went on for 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. And it was, but it was quite funny doing my workouts, you know, like lopsided and stuff. I still did them, but it was quite funny.
I was worried about Nicola at that stage because I thought that was the first real test that she had of something stopping her from doing the things that she decided to do. And I thought, this is a real test now, because if she can move on and kind of say, it, you know, it I can't do that as much, but it's okay, then that's really positive. But you'd been walking so much and being so pleased with yourself that I was worried that that was going to be a knock-on to you, but it didn't do that to her at all. She just still kept going and just thought about what you could do at that stage. So again, really inspirational there that you didn't let that knock you.
It was good because I went back to my non-negotiable steps, my 6,000 to 8,000.
I will
they're so important. Do you know what I mean? Your non-negotiables, you know. I like that.
And just a like credit to Ruth as well, because I get so much feedback from your clients who are like, almost all of your clients now are menopausal women. And by the way, anxiety is something that comes up so frequently and overwhelm. And the fact that like Ruth is the most reassuring person who's always like, okay, well, if you can't do that, let's just do this. It's always like a solution, you know, and it's always really calming and like, hey, don't stress out about that. Mm-hmm. Like,
I like that. I like that. I'd never had that before. Like praise, encouragement, seen, heard, not judged at all. It's like, well, you know, always like whenever I said, oh, there's an exercise, she goes, well, try this. I've sent you a video and stuff like that. And I'm like, do you know what I mean? And it's like so lovely. I was like, I always look forward to like getting a check-in and stuff like that. And I always dread it for some reason, not dread it, but I always get nervous thinking, you know, I'm going to get like a, you know, a bad mark or something. But it's never like that, do you know what I mean? But I think it's from stuff from before that I carry, nothing to do with Ruth. It's like all my, you know, all my little baggage.
You won't always read them straight away, will you? I send them back and then she has to build herself up to read them, even though there's never any judgment in them. And I do think that Emma probably appreciates this. I think having some neurodiversity, like, and my kids being neurodiverse as well, I think one of the reasons I'm always looking for workarounds for people is probably because I always have to find workarounds for myself and my family as well. You're always looking,
100%. I think, so I just recorded an AFM podcast with Maureen on ADHD, actually. And one thing that was like the biggest thing for me was like permission to do it differently. And I actually think everybody should have that, right? But like having some kind of, you know, label on you as like, oh, you think about things slightly different, you're neurodiverse, or you've got the, you know, you're struggling with ADHD, or even you're not struggling, but you have this. It allows you, and it always opened up my mind to be like, well, I might have to do it differently. And I think more people should be open to that, because you have to figure it out, you know, like everyone's, whether you've got like a diagnosed X, Y, or Z, everyone's got different lives. Like, allow yourself to figure out what works for you. Yeah,
exactly. Because I struggled a lot when I was at school, like, generally with things, because I did think very differently. And I just, you know, and I was made fun of at school, do you know what I mean? I was bullied at school because I did stick out a bit because I didn't think like everybody else, and you know, but now I embrace it, do you know what I mean? Because it's what got me here, do you know what I mean? For thinking differently, you know, and it's nice. It's like thinking outside the box, you know. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, can we touch on the fact that Nicola has never got on a set of scales since starting in July? She guessed her weight at the beginning so we could set her targets, and this is, you're quite passionate about this, aren't you?
Because I had an eating disorder in the past, I didn't have a great relationship with scales, and I was making myself like unwell about trying to find a set of scales to, you know. And it was really funny because I was like, do I really need to weigh myself? You know what? And I asked Ruth, are you going to weigh me? Like, are you going to make me weigh myself? And you were like, no. Do you know what I mean? And like, I've got this far without it. And I just think that the scales, I mean, my journey is so much bigger than a set of scales. I just don't know where I'd fit it in. I don't know where it comes into my equation of, you know, I can't figure it out. Do you know what I mean? It just wouldn't make any sense.
Oh, I think that's just like music to our ears. Like,
it doesn't,
you know,
make sense, does it?
No, not at all. Like, considering how far you've come, you're right. Like, what would it really add? Like, you know, you feel better. You know, you've lost. Your body looks completely different. Like, what would it even mean? And I think when you've not weighed yourself for so long, that number means less because it's like you've got
Yeah.
nothing to compare it to, really.
No. I guessed. You know, I knew what I was before. I knew what was in my heaviest, and I still get results. You know, my progress pictures, my, measurements every 30 days. You know, I still get results.
And you always write, because we have that weight change question in our check-ins, that if people are weighing, they pop it in. Nicola does always fill that in, and she always puts a measure of progress that she's noticed, like things like, I'm thinking that I'm down, my body weight is likely down because my clothes feel a bit looser, my posture's changed, I'm walking a bit taller, I'm feeling a bit smaller, and it's not, my belly isn't getting in the way when I'm doing bicycle crunches. And like, there you go. Sorry, but it's just really, I'm like, great. These are great forms of measurement. And like, you're always finding some way. And the one where you hold yourself up in your work tops, I like
Oh yeah,
that.
I love that. Yeah. Sometimes when my kettle's boiling, I think of things to do while it's boiling. I mean, there's like, oh, I wonder if I could, hold myself up and stuff like that. And then when I go through to my bedroom, my like chest of drawers and bed are kind of similar. I was like, oh, I wonder if I can like hold myself up and swing myself about.
But do you know what? I am getting a little bit of fear. Like, oh yeah, so then I just attach like my bands to all of the kitchen doors, and then I'm just like pulling it. I'm like, oh my God, this
No,
not recommended.
it was funny because I did a new workout the other day, and there was what's the one? Oh, glutes, the press, when you're, I don't know, you're on your back and
Glute
you're,
bridge.
yeah, and it said that I had to attach the resistance band, so I kind of did it underneath my coffee table and my kind of nice sideboard, and it worked. And I was like, oh, this is quite good.
I
But
wonder, I'm trying to think what
yeah,
that one is now. It might have been the
I think
laptop.
it's the new core one. I think it's the home one. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
The other thing that I think Emma's going to like is in Nicola's check-in, she always starts with kind of, I'm proud to say, always starts with a positive spin on anything. And it's a lot of reframing. It's almost like you're writing it, reminding yourself. That's what it feels like, in a reminding. Is that right, would you say?
Yeah, because you say, what are you proud of? And it's like, I'm proud to say, or proudly in the last 2 weeks, do you mean I have achieved? And it's great. I printed off some of my rather first check-ins from, the other day from in the library, and I read them and I went, oh my goodness, it's just it, and it's even the wording, and it's even the way I talk, and to myself, I think that's a big thing. I mean, my mind is less busy, less critical of myself, and even the way I talk to myself, it's like so much more nurturing, so much more loving, so much more positive than, when I first started, or even, even before. And I think that's so important, not giving yourself a hard time about things. And even like some of the decisions I've had to make recently, some of the things that have cropped up, I don't react in the same way, And it's like, I really can't believe that I'm here talking to you two, and my life has changed so much for the better.
Oh, I'm so pleased. What, just to kind of finish this up, what would you recommend to other people who are maybe feeling like you felt initially, like a bit overwhelmed? Like, what would you think would have helped you at that point in terms of getting started?
Do you know what I think is really invaluable? And I thought, what a genius idea, is the mindset prep. The 5 day, oh, I just love that, because that kind of eases you in ever so gently, but gives you a taster of what's to come. That was great. Because you're feeling overwhelmed anyway, because you're starting something new, but having that kind of 5 days working up to, it was great. I really enjoyed that. And commit to 6 journal, brain dump. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think that's kind of aided my sleep, because I was an insomniac, and You know, last night I got 6 hours. I've never had 6 hours sleep in a long time.
Oh, great.
I
Just so
know.
if anyone's listening, the brain dump is basically like getting everything out of your head before you go to sleep, so that it's not whirling around in your head and you wake up at night worrying about things. It's like, okay, all that stuff, put it down, you can deal with it tomorrow, and you'll be much better able to deal with it if you get a good sleep.
Yeah, and I think another thing for me is, you know how you're giving us the PT Hub, you're giving us like lots of different things, but I think like I got overwhelmed with the amount of technology there was. But I decided that I would kind of do it my way. I would have, you know, different things on my laptop. I would have my journal to write in, you know. But the thing is, like, just do, you know, what you like doing, like what you. And I think that's really important. Don't follow anybody else. Just, you know, set it up the way that you want to, that works for you. Don't change things just because, you know, it's, you know, adapt and kind of do it the way that you want to. And it does. And it made me feel less overwhelmed because I kind of like doing it this way. And it just works. You know, I've got my own routine. So it's, and I've got my own structure and it works. It really does work.
I think that's a really good point to make, is that, like, and it comes back to this, like, permission to do it the way that you want to do it. Like, we offer a lot on Commit to Six, and if you do everything, it can feel a bit overwhelming. But
Oh,
one of the
yeah.
things that we offer a lot is because people's minds work in different ways, right? We've got the tracker for people who like love an Excel spreadsheet and want to see it all visually and stuff, and then we've got the journal for people who like to write things down and don't
Yeah.
enjoy the technology side as much. And you don't have, you know, it's for different people because it resonates in different ways and it will work differently for different people. You don't have to do all the,
Yes, exactly.
yeah, such a good point.
It's coming in with that attitude of kind of I can handle this my way. You know, I can handle everything. It's making sure that you don't, that fear doesn't stop you from doing anything. It's making it
But
work for
sometimes
you.
fear drives you as well.
Yeah.
Fear has, yeah. You know, I mean, being, because I'm fearful about things like starting new workouts, starting this, but sometimes that kind of drives you to have a great workout.
Yeah, as the fact that you're so determined, you're like, I'm
Yeah.
not going to let fear stop me. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much for your time and for coming on. If anyone
Oh.
is listening to this and they want to find out more about Commit to Six, head over to esgfitness.co.uk/commit and fill in the application form, and I will be more than happy to chat you through it. All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Sorry, we're back with just like a last minute addition because we think this is a very important thing to say. We were just talking about how so many people have this feeling or like belief that it's all downhill after menopause. And Nicola, what do you want to say?
It's not there. It's it, that's just, that's untrue. Because I'm honestly feeling the best I've ever felt, and I'm gonna feel better. I'm gonna get better. You know, and I'm going to be 52 in a couple of months. So, yeah.
And also,
And
not just saying this, but you do not look 52.
you. Thank you. Emma's face is like, what?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah. So,
You do
yeah.
look really young. You've got, and I think as well as looking young, you know, having good skin and so on, you can see the ha happiness and, you know,
Yeah.
you radiate
Thank
the fact
you.
that you're feeling good as well, I think.
Thank you. I do. I just feel, I mean, it was, I mean, like my hair started falling out because I got so bad, my eyebrows, my skin got really bad, you know, but that was at the worst point, you know, but
There you go, looking after yourself. Okay, we will leave you for the podcast now. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.